dar nu parle de ce este definit cu telefon a partir din nou din encoder pentru care se încontra de în ulador
I support honorable Fadim is saying, and then there are proposed seven legs. Let us serve the minute for now, just as we begin with the meetings, then maybe after the meetings, because of some of the other orders here, we can then continue and think after the first minute at our meeting. Thank you.
Let me only suggest that the meeting has already started. The suggestion that we should perhaps go into the matter of the local government education training authority. And I think that is agreeable, colleagues. I believe. And let me take this opportunity to welcome the chairperson of the local government CETA board and the chief executive officer and officials from the CETA and the Department of Higher Education and Training. The purpose of the invitation to the CETA is to explain themselves to the Motolo Committee as to why they got a disclaimer from the Auditor General. The previous year to the disclaimer, they had an unqualified audit report. We are going to deal with specificities that emanate from the annual report of the CETA. It will be criterious of me to then allow the chairperson of the body to make a prelude to that engagement. Perhaps allow the CEO to compliment that, and thereafter members of parliament will delve into the contents of the annual report but ask questions, and that may include reflecting on the presentation that apparently the CETA would like to make. We'll give you 15 minutes for that presentation, because we think it will merely be a synopsis of your actions in regard to the findings of the AG. The entire time will be left for us to ask questions and to receive answers. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. I think maybe what will be most important, greetings to the chair and the honourable members of the committee. I thought it would be quite helpful that we introduce ourselves as well, yeah, so that at least you would have an idea of who's here. We do have stakeholders who are on the board present as well. Maybe I'll ask each of the part of the delegation to introduce themselves quickly, and then we can take the introduction.
I'm a board member and I'm representing Imoto.
I'm Paul Lau. I'm the acting CFO.
Don Benke Kosi, the Chief Executive Officer.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sandra Freiling and I'm from the Department of Corporate Governance and Tradition and Affairs.
My name is Riyano Kutungu, a new board member, represent Kauka.
My name is Nkwana Wani, a new board member of Kauka.
Well, Chair, I assume the officials of the department are regular visitors to the committee.
That's
I'm sure you recognize.
That's what the new control that the parliament knows that they did come on the day as well.
Good morning, Chairperson. Honourable members, my name is Clive Chisa, the acting deputy director of General Skills.
Morning, honourable members. I'm Maribo Elomka, the chief director for Sector Combination.
Morning, members. My name is Nava Mandela. I'm in the ministry.
And I'm still on the pilot.
Good morning.
We also have the CFO of the department with us.
Sure. Morning, I'm Mabuzwa Kubale, Deputy Director of City Performance Management.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Nomsa Kumbi from City Performance Management. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe to open up, Chair, I think relating to the annual report, one would like us to indicate that we did come through. We haven't actually had time then to engage with the department, and we did actually ask the chair to actually condone that we find time to engage with the department before we come before a committee. The annual report was circulated, but obviously I'm sure you'll know the condition of the report and where issues relating to submission dates being late. But further, I think one wanted just to preface the presentation, Chair, just to say that the CETA has struggled to transit the area of the old constitution to the new. And I think on the other side, we can be able to say there were actually discussions at various levels, to the level that there is actually engagement at the department and ministerial level, to look at how we actually can be able to try and find the way of turning the situation around. The issue relating to transition, it relates to the constitution of the board in terms of making sure that the board is fully constituted. You'll hear the stakeholders that were introducing themselves to a new members of the board. So which means if you look at processes, Chair, just to constitute the board, its committees, the process hasn't actually gone as we envisaged. The issue related to delegation framework will be issues that we may have to look at and finalize organizational design, the issue of compliance and performance, coordination in relation to the board, committee management and administration. One is just presenting the sense of where we act as a board. It's a point where maybe we want to submit ourselves to the committee to give an indication that there are serious challenges of getting ourselves established and getting things done to a large extent. But the final point, I think, one will actually indicate that we did actually come through the annual report. I think it was agreed that nothing would change, and in the presentation, which we're actually going to take you through today, we'll then actually engage on the details. But thank you very much for your flexibility. Although in terms of your program, we made the previous date as well as your council as well as the committee. But rather, I think we should be able to take you through on the presentation today. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll hand over to the CEO. If there are any additions, I'm sure in discussions, the other members of the board will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, honourable members, the board of the LGC and the Department of Higher Education and Training. Forgive us, this presentation is moving. I'll try my best. Just as the Chairperson has already indicated, the challenges we experienced, the annual report was submitted late in September 2012. And we also engaged with the department formally on the in November 2012, to try and work on all the areas of underperformance and see what can be done. And then in the outcome, okay, the outcome of that engagement was section 14, which we are dealing with the minister. Section 14 is an instruction by the minister to the LCCTA to correct its areas of non-compliance. That's what we are currently under with the minister. Okay, I'm going to pass to the next one. Governance matters, meetings of the board and structures have been held as the constitution. The majority of board members were appointed in September 2011, and then the late submission of the annual report is one of the main challenges. At the high-level summary of the annual report, we contributed to the outcome 9, so the outcome 5 of the Department of Higher Education, and also outcome 9, which is the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, as we work in the sector. And then we also trained officials in finance as the competency framework required by National Treasury, registered 552 artisan lands, and then assisted municipalities in achieving blue and green block status by training 1,795 water process controllers. And then we provided boundaries on various critical skill areas, including ichthyology, that's with roads, that's the marine resource development, which contributed to rural development. We also supported 86 interns in horticulture and nature conservation. This is a stat high level, so we just took some of the areas of priority in the area. It's in the CETA, but then also said that 7,498 counselors were inducted in the induction program. And we trained MFNA counselors and officials. And then we also trained 27 interns in the council for in the property valuer qualification. That's actually quite key in the sector to ensure that the municipalities are doing the evaluating of property is quite correctly. 220 learnerships in internal audit and 40 interns also. We also awarded 20 bursaries and internships in urban regional planning. 11 interns in engineering, technologies, and 25 bursaries. Artisans, electrical, we're working with the SA on a contract which has not been transferred to NISA and trained 230 artisans, and then also worked directly with municipalities to train 332. And in the finance, accounts clerks and finance people in municipalities working on the local government, we trained on the local government accounting certificate. This is a collaboration we do with the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. And then on the water plant operators, those are the stats, and builders, workers, road construction, 500 learnerships, and also on drainage, sewerage, and stormwater. Strategic focus area, I think this has been the area we need to look at in local government in terms of rural development, which is one of the national imperatives. We're looking at, we award discretionary grants focusing on the 108 rural and vulnerable municipalities as identified by the Department of Cooperative Governance, and plus the 23 vulnerable districts, 66 with particular emphasis on water and water waste treatment. Marine resource again, we engaging additional municipalities. We started at Nelson Mandela, but we now have extended that to Oak Tambo, Port St. John, Port Nolos, Rostersfeld, and Eden, Saldana. Those are all the coastal municipalities, and we're doing this with the universities. Also, in terms of strategic focus areas with universities, these are the universities we're currently working with. This contract has all come to an end, or are coming to an end. And in the previous year, we trained about 100 learners in each. Historical audit reports. As the Honourable Chairperson has indicated, that we've had unqualified audits for the last financial year, and then we then ended up with a disclaimer, which we will talk to. What we've done currently to try and minimize and mitigate the problems we're having at the CETA, we've appointed a CFO for a period of 6 months, and then our HR and corporate manager appointed for 6 months. We also have got additional staff employed to assist in cleaning up and ensuring that all the good work is done in the future. The organizational redesign has been completed and is awaiting board approval. The education revised, also awaiting board approval, and all the HR policies have been revised and are at different consultation processes. We're working closely with the AG to avoid another disclaimer, and we're also meeting with the National Treasury to finalize the coordination of irregular expenditure, just to explain how the large irregular expenditure came about. As part of our processes in the local government, you know, we work with other agencies in terms of delivery, in terms of training interventions in the sector. We approached the DDSA in 2009 to assist us in terms of training in artisanship, because they were already involved in a program of Lianza Mandi with municipalities. We then gave them a grant of about 60 million to do that. That grant was then audited, and the AG looked at that as irregular expenditure. We're meeting with Treasury. We've been actually working with Treasury since about September to try and sort out all those. They now are going to be bringing their specialists to look at if it should have been a private-public partnership, but we're waiting for all that information so that we can finalize the condemnation. A detailed plan of action has been compiled and is available to deal with the following issues. The audit findings on supply chain were the biggest one. Audit finding also on human resource matters. The board assessment, preliminary assessment of the LGBT and non-compliance with statutory obligations and underperformance, board members not functioning as cohesive units, management underperformance, and non-compliance with auditing requirements.
Just to help us, your presentation does not speak to us. But we are giving you time. We are left about 2 minutes. But just clarify, the board is not working as a cohesive unit. At least that we can want to hear. The rest, we are just listening because we are contentious. We are still going to ask you questions. The board is not working as a cohesive unit. Let's see what's happening there. That's the beginning of the presentation.
Chair, I think one would like to just present, linked to the earlier comments one has made. The cohesive unit is the sense that we will know what are the kind of issues we have to engage in. And overall, we do have board and its committees. It will be programmatized, but there is actually a situation, Chair, where we haven't actually kept our eye on the board. And you would find that there would be less significant issues that might actually take time, and engagement being out of what really would actually take us forward. I think likely that would be the simple explanation. But in overall, what we really have tried not to do is to try and actually come to the committee and have our meeting as the board to say, you know, so and so is doing that, so and so is doing that. But I'm just saying the cohesion is actually lacking. And obviously, in terms of who to blame, you would find here that we collectively would have to take the full blame. There might be variance in terms of contributions of individuals. Thank you, Chair.
suggest that some decision structures with the counterpart that one might have to be established. What are you referring to in your report here? That's to let us understand. In order to enable the CETA to execute its mandate.
This is in the reference chair, but I'm just saying that in the earlier point where I referred to coordination, I did actually talk about alignment of both its committee management and the administration, focusing in terms of responsibility of what we should be doing as a board. But in terms of reference on the presentation, I'm not sure I haven't actually made reference directly to that, but more or less I think the idea here for our appearance before the committee today, when one actually expressed it as challenge of managing transition from old to new constitution and whole sense of the building blocks of what really will make us more efficient and effective, not having been in place at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe let me see a in your report, you on page 7, paragraph 3, it's for the CEO. This level of capacity, whether this be able to run, just explain to us, what are these capacities? When did you have this problem? When was it resolved? If not, why was it not resolved?
In terms of capacity issues, we the LCCTA embarked on an organizational structuring in 2011, and that took quite a long time, and it's still not finalized. As part of that organizational restructuring, there was a freeze on some of the on posts, except for the CFO posts. Post which needed to be filled. So that mostly comes from the finalizing or late finalizing of the organizational restructuring.
In the same report, I think you indicated that there are new controls and business efficiencies that you introduced in order to shape up your leadership. That say us, say with us, this new controls that you put in place.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think one of the areas where we actually had been struggling is the real issue of supply chain. Although it came out again as a problem, we had to go back and redo most of the controls we had done, because the LGBTA has got six provincial offices. Originally, everything was done in each office. We then moved all supply chain into one office, into the head office, under the head of the chief financial officer. So those were some of the areas we actually improved on.
You know, normally when there are labor transactions, they must be disclosed in terms of the law. Now it would appear that your CETA only disclosed an amount of 300,000 rand. And the AG discovered 39 million in terms of the transaction. Let's understand who are the officials that were responsible for the transactions, which companies were involved. You just mentioned DPSA. We need the amount relating to that, and the amount of the company amount the person who in the regional office or in the head office decided that despite the PMA, because I am in a region or the head office, I'm signing for this 2 million transaction to Mr. Manane.
Chairperson, the bulk of the irregular expenditure, as I indicated, was for the CDFA contract, that's the artisan contract. And then we also had expenditure which was for, in the NSDF too, there was, in the regulation, there was an allowance for CTAP to appoint service providers, training providers, as institutes of sectorial occupational excellence. We appointed those providers based on the policy of the LGBTA, which was actually approved by the board. And also in terms of the DDFA contract, it was approved by the board. What we...
We hear you, but you're not answering our question. Oh. Tell us, for DDFA, an amount of X was granted for this project. For this central center of excellence called X, this amount was offered. Who recommended it? We repudiated the board that approved that. You know, the accounting authority was the one responsible. We hear that. Tell us this transaction. Was your account of the nation on this transaction? What do you see now?
Okay. In terms of the DSA, for the artisan training, it's an amount of 12 million rand in 2011-12, and then an amount of 8.9 million in 2010-11. This contract comes from the 2009. It was actually recommended by the previous CEO to the board. And then in terms of the tender for the water and wastewater, there was an amount of 19 million rand. Which for 2011-12, there was a dispute, I think, between the auditor and the auditor general on this one. We sent it back to the AG because there was a dispute that we hadn't given them a report, which had been given to the AG. And then
the AG is here, the hard is somewhere there, but we just want to give us answers. Which company was involved? We need the facts. Tell us the facts. This is the committee now. When the AG has given us a report, now we're inquiring into the AG's report, and the primary respondents are yourselves, as the CETA.
The companies involved in this 19 million rand is Oricon, SA, and Oricon SA. It's three companies, Mahube, and it's a water cleaning company. I can confirm we can actually send through all the names properly.
That's right.
It's water.
The company based, it's a based company.
Water cleaning company. I do have the details, Chairperson, and I can actually provide them once we finish with the presentation. I've got the information.
That is exactly the problem. When you come to resort to the Parliament, you must be factual. But I'll grant that. You had some bonus that has paid to the senior management, that's how. Original head. Names you will mention later. And this, Saman Zunet approved. What happened to that? One is unapproved by the board, probably. There was no assessment.
Those are the 20... Person those in the 2009-2010 bonuses, which were paid. What had actually happened in that instance? We couldn't do, or I couldn't finalize or do the assessment, because what had happened, the previous CEO had left, and then we used the actual CETA performance to award the bonus.
The performance, you remember, the IT could not get your performance report, CETA. Where is this report of the performance, the actual performance of the CETA, in terms of your previous targets and what you achieved later on at the end of the financial year?
The bonuses were referring to a prior financial year, and there had actually been a report which we used for the we used the audit report. We also used the CETA actual performance, which was previously done by the Department of Higher Education and Training. It does not refer to the 2011-12.
The report before us mentions that CETA did not either deliberately or by omission disclose all these regular transactions at the time of audit. What could be the reason for it? It is a requirement that this must be done.
Okay. In terms of the disclosures, we were actually late in submitting some of the documents to the AG, and when they received the documentation, it was already late. They had to. So we did actually look at all the irregular expenditure, and we did engage to try and find out what were the issues, especially in terms of the DBSA one, as an example. And the AG looked at that and still felt that it was an irregular expenditure. So it we disclosed, we sent them the information late, and they had already closed.
Just for these bonuses, there is an amount of 3.3 million. It could be for the 200. The amount we are referring to is 1 million. The CFO can correct the current. In the current period, 3.3 million was paid for performance. Mm-hmm. In 2010, it would be 1 million.
Yes.
I think, just for clarity, how did you go about offering this bonus? If you may explain to us.
Okay. In the 3.3 million is a provision in the books of the CETA. It was calculated on previous, using previous percentage points. The LCCTA is always paid up to 10%, the maximum of bonuses to its employees. So we used the 3.3 million as a percentage, as a 10% at that time. It was not actually paid. It was a provision.
When we look into now annual reconciliation, it would seem that the CETA did not really know its budget and this expenditure. You should look at page 49 of this report. Page 49 of our report, you will realize that there were understatements of specific amounts there. All those go on.
We looked at the error of the budget. What had actually happened, one of the figures had been transposed actually as a negative instead of a positive figure. That is what had happened in the financial statement, in the actual budget reconciliation.
Budget revenue was understated by 5.4 million.
Yes, it was an understatement which actually became an understatement because of that error, of the actual figure being transposed.
Including the overstatement of the budget by 21.8 million.
There was a figure, and we can also provide, there was a figure which was supposed to be showing as a negative. It was showing, we actually showed, the CFO just provided the information. The administration expenses, a figure of 36 million was showed as income instead of expenditure on the actual budget. That's why we ended up with a figure of 24 million showing as of 21 million showing as an over expense, showing as an overstated budget.
But now when you go to the other immaterial and corrected statement, then you get up about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 overstatement and understatement. It won't be a single figure. There are several of them. So it can't be a transposition of a single figure, and the CFO must not take us for granted. There are several figures here. Before we get agitated, let's get a clear understanding what caused it. Because this is not one figure. Again, I can just point out to you, there was an understatement of the fees to the levy income by about 136,000.
Okay. In terms of the budget, the overstatement in the budget is a separate figure. The other immaterial misstatements, as shown on page 49, are also in different line items. In terms of the skill development levy income, that was the 136,000 refers to income received in advance. This income was actually received in April. It was received in March for April. So we then had stated it as a 2011-13 income rather than 2011-12. But the AG then said it must be taken in because it was received in the previous year.
The employee cost was overstated by over 700,000.
That overstatement is due to the fact that on with the LTIP employees, on a monthly basis, they are allowed on their package to actually put in a savings check. It's not a real savings check, but on the party of the staff, they are allowed to take that part of their salary as a second check, which they then get in November. What the financial system does, it actually charges that amount on a monthly basis. And then when it gets paid in November, it needs to be reversed. So it's actually that amount, which was an overstatement. We have since reversed that and corrected it in the financial.
Now the prepayments and advances of 109,000 pounds, who was being given this money?
These were rentals which were paid end of March for the month of April 2012.
On Monday, I was at Brooklyn at the office of the Auditor General, and in a report was saying you are cooperating with the Auditor General, but the Auditor General is not getting any cooperation from the city. I'm sure of that. And in fact, I can, if I was a sniffer dog, I can even sniff another disclaimer. What do you say about that?
Can I ask the CFO to help me on that one?
Last year there was a disclaimer because they weren't getting the information to be able to audit. So they couldn't express an opinion because they weren't getting enough information. This year they will get all the information. We now have the capacity. We employed 18 people in January. There's now enough people to be able to give them all the information they want. And there will not be a disclaimer. We will be able to supply all the information they need.
What will what must happen, if I must ask frankly, calmly, kindly, what must happen if there's a disclaimer? What you are saying to the committee, there will not be a disclaimer. Let me just give an example. You see, the NSF had a disclaimer at one moment. They came here and they made a commitment, and indeed they found it. They made a commitment, we are going to deal with the funds of the AG, and I want to work closely with the office of the AG that this does not occur. And indeed that happened, it never occurred. Now here you are, before us saying, we should not expect a disclaimer. Okay, it's a commitment to Parliament. What must happen if there is a disclaimer? Just tell us yourself, and then I'll allow members to ask more questions. That is my last call for now. What must happen? We'll hear from them, the officials and the chair will cement it, because you see, these are our officials that on a daily basis, they are the ones who are actually against the law. They are the ones who can give a tender. In fact, you see, in South Africa, you are allowed to get three quotations, my daughter, three quotations for 500,000, right? Half a million. This city does not have quotations. They can then translate more than three quotations. You just look at your list of service providers and choose. You know, three quotations. You don't even do that. You feel that waste your time. You must just select your favorite center of excellence and then issue a transaction. And when a transaction is about 500,000 times, there must be a particular process. In this area, it is not followed. That was the intent. So we need a commitment from the officials. What must happen if we get a disclaimer?
Chair, I think although the question is directed to the official, one actually wanted to make an approach that doesn't become a process where something that we have an opportunity to express at the committee comes later. The confidence is there, and I think in the presentation you'll see as well, in the last slide, it's just a positive sense of how we see things should happen. What is happening would be maybe other issues. Yeah. I will say at this stage, on the process explained, in terms of intervention in the administration to ensure things are happening as they should. The time frame or the time when we started is actually delayed. Because in terms of processes we're engaging now, I would say personally, it does actually show that if we have had 3 months to work on the details, it would have worked out better. So I think on my part then, we can't prejudge or even commit to a point of saying no disclaimer. Because really, in terms of a process chair, it is a panel view to some extent, but in reality, I would say relationships of the management and the Auditor General Office is crucial. Further, how the communication goes is something that we actually have to ensure it's happening as it should. And further, in terms of our own capacity and the whole sense of doing what we should in terms of submission and all the related issues, it's an issue that one wouldn't say I have a full sense of what the level of capacity and effectiveness we had. So I would say, I'm not actually saying we can't, but I'm just saying we were late in terms of the intervention, giving support to the administration to manage the detail around these processes. And we are late, yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Chair, just as a brief that earlier on when we introduced ourselves, we said new. But we would want to indicate that moving forward in relation to performance, perhaps let me deal with the issue that you asked the question earlier on about the cohesion of the board. And why would it be possible that the CETA will continue to underperform? Chair, in our newness, that the identity of what we have discovered is that there's a power problem between the board. I want to put it this way. There's a good number of board members who assume that the chair might be justifying what an bad performance or poor performance. And that breaks the whole functionality of the process. And we think it's important that we relate with that part. Otherwise, if you make a promise today and a week later you are caught and there's a bit of bad performance or poor performance, it's going to cripple us. And I'm sure in the recent time there's a tension set to work on the functionality of the whole system. Because as you're saying, administration in general is full-time. They sit on daily basis to look into the whole functionality of the board. Board members can receive reports and give policy guidelines and directions. But if you get a sense that there's no performance, the board must decide what to do. But if the board therefore decides to say, we together can't work together, it's a problem. And I'm sure I'm speaking in the qualification that I'm relatively new in that board. But clearly what you could get a sense is that there's a shift between the chair and the rest of the board. Thank you.
Let me invite members to ask questions on the basis of the presentation and the report. Let me just start with Oliver.
Chair, I think the last member gets to my to the actual point there. You see, if it was in another country, we would have a police van outside. Starting from the chair, CEO, everybody, they get arrested, all of them. You see, I was saying this yesterday in the Santa, that unfortunately, public health of our people, the poor people in the ground, is not taken very fast. The people who serve and people who are supposed to look after the money of South Africans are not taking South Africans very fast. And I wish that we can have an amendment in the Constitution that people like this, we just put them in a van, all of them, they get arrested. Yesterday, our people are eating donkey and something meat. Because of people like this, some of them that will respect it whenever they feel responsible. It's not fair. The first person who's responsible for this thing is a trustee, Mr. Gould, should take responsibility.
because it's a failure of the board to do oversight over the activities of the institution. Now, between 2011 and 2012, the auditor general just simply, I don't know what questions we're going to ask him. Like, the auditor general is very clear, this institution have mismanaged, misappropriated the resources of the board. Like, I don't even know what the department is doing. Instead of designing everybody, this thing says the majority of the board members are from 2011 to 2012. The actual year which we're talking about, the actual period that I'm talking about. If this is the board, the CEO, and those who are responsible work in this period, they should take responsibility. One among the things I'm going to ask, what exit were taken? No exit. And you know, I'm sitting in a painting like people who are prepared to take their chance, telling us in the future that there won't be a disclaimer in the future. With the inability to manage that very simple thing, government, please man, United Public Administration. You see, I don't know anything about finances, but I know in South Africa there is a process which is followed, which leads to a public financial management act. That public financial management act is very clear of people like the CEO. People who have caused all these irregularities, which we're supposed to recommend if the department is very serious, that the investigation is conducted, the board is disbanded, proper people who take over the seat and run the seat are put in place. And I think there are things we're supposed to recommend that they must be investigated, those responsible must be investigated, not only arrested. Because South Africa was scared to get to this stage of that they must be arrested. Because of this thing, you are not guilty until proven guilty. When they are proven guilty, they must be arrested, no parole. People like this, they don't deserve to serve our people. Therefore, I'm suggesting that here, we must make a recommendation clear to the department that an investigation will be conducted here in the board, possibly disbanded, because the auditor general puts it very clear that we cannot trust this board. The people that are coming over here, you can reflect that no question. That's why when management behaves like this, they just give bonuses for themselves. That's the only thing they can perform. And for receiving the report of the chair, read the chair, gives hope in something that there's no hope. Meaning people are not taking responsibility. Therefore, I don't have confidence. I'm not going to ask questions in this institution. I'm going to say my recommendation, the department must act decisively. Disband this board, investigation must be done in officials, those who must face the wrath of the law, even institutions, those who have got the 500,000 in this document, they must come there. Even the one who has left the CEO, the DM of the South African, must be investigated, who could face the almighty of the South African constitution and the South African law, and they must come. It's enough that our quiet and put chairman and people to question. Now,
yes, but thank you, Chef. I think Honorable Banga has just more emphasized on those strict rules that must be able to take step on. Because indeed, we don't find any report that says people were being disciplined in terms of these regulations that guide us how to operate as a public institution. Because I hear the chairperson saying, on his page 15 says, I've got a turnaround strategy. But a turnaround strategy doesn't speak to, responding to the queries that, the turnaround has. The PFMA speaks specifically to the accounting authority must be able to keep full proper record. If in their court it's gonna say that they couldn't keep even a single report, I really doubt that they're going to be able to give us what we expect. The disclaimer that they say they're not they wanna deal with it. It's just a joke here. Let's put the very clear measures giving instruction to the department. They must put full measures into this institution, and they must disband it and put an administration so that he corrects his measures. Because if you remember correctly, when this leader was supposed to come to us, it already exposed itself as a problem. But up until today, the problem is still existing. What does it mean? It means they come and, you know, to Parliament and transcend and, you know, it's unfortunate because some of the other things, it makes us as if we're breaking as a portal committee. The department must take full stand, and all those who are responsible, from the previous management up to the current one, they must be taken to task, because those are public funds, and it's unfortunate that, you know, they are doing this thing at a stage whereby everybody is opening eyes in terms of the future performance. It's very bad. Because I was gonna, you know, have some other questions that I wanted to ask, but I'm like looking at these things like, how do you ask them to respond in terms of the skills performance of the country? Here coming from ML sometimes doesn't even take a bath because there's no water there. How do you expect them in quality to perform if ever the local government sees that there's no water to them in quality? But then how do you engage about that one? Which are the key issues that you must be engaging about? Issues of performance of the municipality, how do they assist? Those are the key fundamental issues. But we can't even ask that because already they show, as we have said here, a quotation of above 400,000. A quotation, I mean, almost below 400,000. Just quotations, three quotations. What is difficult to learn? It was the year you say, Abana Maracor. No one of you are going to tell you. My young man, you know, to be a good thing. I'm trying to say, this is a promotion. I'm going to be amazing, beloved. Thank you.
Chairperson, pardon me, I've got flu today. But here, of course, I've got one main question, Chairperson, for me, to the board, to the members of the party that are here. I know, Chairperson, you raised this question, you raised it, but only one person has just answered it. I attempted to answer it, and I think he has given us an idea of what is happening in the board. But for me, I would love to hear even from other members of the board, specifically the chairperson, because I think he's the one who can give exactly how does he perceive the board, the performance of the board. Because for now, I know he hasn't talked to the chairperson that she has raised. I wish to know, chairperson of the board, just to say, when you look at the functioning of the board, can you be proud to say you are contributing to the feeling of the people in South Africa? The value for money, chairperson. I know the CEO and the CFO have even listed these big companies, the DBSA, the water companies that she has mentioned. Is there value for money when you see we have taken out such money? What is it that you can be proud to say you have contributed? You have actually done what your CETA is supposed to be doing. Because in the presentation, really, if ever you did not get the agents comment and report from your side, can you proudly say we are there, we are representing the people of South Africa and the RMCJ to side? Lastly, Chairperson, I see the CFO, the Human Resource Management Manager, has been appointed for 6 months by Africa now. What is the rationale behind that? Because those are the posts to the CEO said those are the posts that have not been, that have been opened, they are not free. So why are they still on a team basis, 6 months specifically, or how can they explain that to us?
I think most members indicated they have disappointment in terms of what is going on, particularly on this ship. When we expected much from them. But
The question that boggles the mind for now is, there has been consistent unqualified audit of NOS until this year under. Ordinarily, you expect that there has been systems in place, and I'm not talking individuals or who is actually involved. The institution is supposed, or the organization is supposed to have systems that gave rise to the unqualified audit opinions. What happened? At what point did all the challenges you have now set in? What happened? I'm not able to get past that. So saying, did you come with all this or what happened? If all of a sudden there's a management underperformance, there's non-compliance in terms of audit the requirements, when did this come? If initially you had unqualified audit opinion, because that trajectory has been there for some time. It's not like you just starting wherein you say that there was no system in place, nothing, let alone the renewal or revision of this or that policy or whatever. Let alone that. You are not telling us when did this thing set in. So that is key to saying we have this particular challenge. When did they come? Then you will tell us what you do when management underperforms. When there's no, let's not hide behind there being no CFO. I know it is key, it's supposed to be key. Does it mean when the individual is not there, then there are no regulations? All of a sudden, there's no law. Are you saying, because it can even be a deliberate thing, that let's delay the appointment of the CFO so that it's, what is that? We are now in paradise, everything is fine, no rules, nothing. And I'm not saying you were that irresponsible, but I'm saying if you're not indicating to us what happened, did the CFO leave all records keeping? Because if there's a system to keep records, what was happening now after the departure of the CFO? All of a sudden we forgot about record keeping and so on. And then we did as we wished. But to me that will present a particular problem. I'm not able to get that. As well, in the presentation, not the final report, they're suggesting that we need an interim chairman of the board. Slide 50, the last bullet. What will be that? I am now in the board as a chairperson. If you're propagating for an interim chairperson, what is the reasoning? But we live here knowing if we are approving of that, we know why you need an interim chairperson and what's wrong with the chairperson now. And there's something here I suspect we are not being told here. I think because of the board somewhat are cautious to want to get into what is affecting their operation. I don't think they are telling us anything in that regard. I won't even say you want to be diplomatic, because it's not even possible to be diplomatic. You just don't want to enter into that terrain. And we must be told why don't you want. Yes, you can come and have your meeting here, as you said. But it seems even at where you are not able to have your meeting, that happens. Because having a meeting which is not so useful, it's as good as having none. And if you don't want to have a meeting here with us, but you have your own challenges elsewhere, I think there's a problem. And we don't want to suspect, we don't want to, at this level, for instance, we don't want to be so petty. For instance, to me, even if I know that Tumanko Osi and the CEO are both coaches, I don't want to read anything into that. But I'm saying, let's deal with the strategic issues, deal with what is the purpose of the CETA, deal with objective matters that are supposed to be there. But you are not telling us those things. I want us to sort of try and look around what is the issue. And that will be difficult for us to do. it will be very difficult. So Chair, I was raising these issues because I'm equally concerned that there's something I'm not getting in the report and so on. And it gives me trouble to try and say, now, how do we get out of here? Even as we recommend something, it's not based on sufficient information. Because we must give us reasons why we must be able to say keep your jobs or do not keep them. Even as we say don't keep them, it must be based on the information we have. So if you don't give us information, you put us in a difficult way. We are not able to recommend you going because we don't have anything. And we want you to go. We don't have anything. And if we say keep that job, we also don't have anything that says you must keep your job. So try and assist us for us to be able to take a decision whether to keep you or not to keep you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think a lot has been said already, and I don't want to repeat it because, most of the points have been made, and you've actually asked quite a number of questions, but I would like to also add my real shock and dissatisfaction at this annual report of the CEDA. And I think I want to add on to what Honourable Makubele is saying, because I also found the same pattern. It's not a fact that they did not know what to do. For a number of years, there was discipline in place and audited accounts were received. But, you know, the people out there are really now uncomfortable and fed up with wasteful expenditure. I think that is the reason why we need to be very, very strict about it. What worries me is that even from the reconciliation of the budget, the whole picture went in a disarray in this budget year. You say that the revenue understated by 5.4 million, the expenses understated by 27.2 million, and the surpluses overstated by 21.8 million. Surely there was a record, and I mean, just from that, anybody can see that there was a big problem from the start. Then to come to the over expenditure of irregular expenditure, understated by 39.4 million. Understated. It is a huge lot of money that is wasted. And that it cannot, okay, we say it's wasted, but it cannot be, there's no record of it, and we cannot say that it is used for the purpose it was used for. I would like to maybe not expand on it a lot more, but what I would like to maybe find out is, and Honourable Makabella has again also alluded to that. What was the reason for this collapse? Was there anybody? Was there first of all an investigation held when this situation started to become on the books? Was there any disciplinary hearings? Was there people held responsible for everything that happened? And if so, we did not get the information today, and I think that is what we want to know. We want to know if things go wrong, what actions were taken to discipline in the first place and correct the situation, and what action was taken against those people that made this whole thing so horrific. No significant evidence for payments and performance management. It is really, it seems to me that the department was in a, or not the department, the CEDA was in a disaster. So please, let us get some more information on this. And I can understand that the new people that are now in the situation want to rectify the matter. But surely, we must just look back and see what was done to rectify the situation that created the mess. So before we can go on into the new year. And we are already a year off 2011-2012. We are at the end of 2012-2013. So there was a long time that things could have been put in place, but you did not get that information on the action that has been taken. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the councillor is from the municipality, which is local government. And the induction of councillors, I'm sure there's money that is spent there, but I'm not going to the money. I was just wondering that after the induction of Catholics, are you always satisfied that the new councillors are ready to take on their duties efficiently after induction? Or do you ever wonder why communities are always dissatisfied with service delivery? And these protests hit back to the government.
Let me be covered by my honourable, but the thing is that they're supposed to give us some information whether were they investigated, especially the CFO, the CEO and the chairperson. They're supposed to be investigated, and they're supposed to give us who were arrested. If they are supposed to be somebody who has been arrested, then chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think most of the questions that I wanted to ask have already been asked. However, I would like to stress, Chair, that you know, the buck stops somewhere, and that's with the board. And I have a serious problem with whether they have actually executed their fiduciary mandate. We have ministerial appointees on the board, and I'm extremely worried that we have this kind of situation, because on the one hand we can say, look, this is what went wrong and why didn't they intervene, were they aware of this? But I'm almost more concerned at this point we have interventions and turnarounds. But if we now hear that the board are not really operating with one another, there's no chance of this turnaround succeeding. And I would want to support what Honourable Makhubela has asked, that we get the details now of what exactly is going on in the board, and not just scan over it, because I think that's the crux of the matter. We have to get to what's happening in the board, otherwise there won't be any progress. Thank you.
Okay, just one last question. I just want to understand, what is the department for rights?
I'll leave the department. The department will leave now in day. Just to say to the CFO of the department, the bank, that they must start working on a monthly reconciliation of transactions in the department. That's what I had the agent to me about, on Monday. So I'm not going to find the department today. My mood is to listen to the Minister of Finance in the afternoon in a heavy mood. You can even see how I'm engaging with, not harsh, but very sensual and thorough focused. Now, we'll allow the board to respond to the comments and questions that were raised by the members, and then we'll summarize.
Chair, I will then request that you've heard my voice, I made my comments. There are other board members that are here that I give an opportunity to them to comment. They've had the questions from the committee. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chief, I think that from the board side, we must admit that there is a gap between administration and board. As far as the interim chair is concerned, from the board side, from the member side, we felt that the chairperson wasn't always there to assist meetings, and therefore we asked for an interim chair. As far as the gap between admin and board goes, we have tried to, well, we have put a task team into place, and a task team has now started to try and close the gap and make sure that we do what we should be doing. We are in the process to appoint a specialist, a turnaround specialist, which we hope to have in place within the next 15 days. As far as the regular expenditure is concerned, the decision was taken by the Finance Committee. And that decision was approved by the board then, that internal audit must investigate
and where wrongdoings are found, that the necessary steps be taken as per the disciplinary process. So that is what we have done so far.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the honourable members. I just want to add on what has been said now, and without bothering too much about my late arrival, is to emphasize I'm the newest board member, less than a month, actually. And one of the critical issues that I've come across as a board member is that the very same financial report which the OAG actually raise specific comments. I can say with authority from the last board meeting, there is a contemplated corrective that may include disciplinary measures that have been actually discussed and resolved by the board. Very soon, maybe an update can be given to this particular committee in terms of that particular process. And indeed, the process is contemplated by next week would have actually started to yield. The second part I want to add to my fellow colleague next to me is that the specific time limit on the turnaround strategy that the board has already set upon, it's been given a 6 month period, during which as well the minister on engagement on this matter has agreed to provide the space to the board to turn around that situation effectively, and those specific measures in terms of plans, in terms of execution, monitoring and so on will definitely be a focal area within the board. And one of the key issues that the board recently also resolved is to ensure there is efficiency in terms of board activities, subcommittees activities, so that there's full compliance on all these matters, thereby dealing with that question of effective oversight on the activities of the board on a regular basis. I think that's the specific mandate the board giving itself and to communicate with the minister. This is what we are going to do. And if nothing happens within that period, the board is determined to exercise it, not before, not at that time, but during the process, within any given moment in that particular period of 6 months, so that we can ensure that after 6 months everything is back to normal and we comply. We hope with this intervention, Chair, the good record on the financial statement of the board will definitely revert back where it used to be, where we don't have this particular qualified report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I apologize that you're going to hear an endless indication from members, board members, that some of them are new. I think for us that are new in the board, it's difficult for us to fully account for what happened wrong in the period under review. When you look back and you reflect on the system that was performing in that period, that is why we have tried to make a concerted effort within the very difficult environment that we found in the board as new members, an environment of not working together effectively, an environment of there being a lack of an effective interface between administration and the board. We have accepted that something is wrong. That's the point that we moved on. Hence, we've humbled ourselves to the committee making in place those bona fides to you. We have requested the minister to give us an opportunity to rectify what is a problem. So part of the thinking around creating a subcommittee to manage the turnaround and appointing someone to come in is that because one of the things we miss in this conversation is what went wrong before, what went wrong after things were right. And we have undertaken to the department that we want to do a full diagnostic so that we are in position not to share only with the department, but to also share with this portfolio committee. This is what we found, including the things that are quite sharply raised by the Auditor General. We also want to reflect on the board itself, how it has dealt with things over time, and what must the board do to ensure that those things do not occur going forward, including if we find that there's some level of capacity amongst the rest of the board members that needs to be considered in terms of improving their ability to exercise their oversight responsibility. We know pathologists, it does happen. It's a matter in which stakeholders nominate board members, that this is a new avenue for some board members. And for institutions like this, which are organs of state, with the multitude of compliance responsibilities that they've adhered to, it's important that we have an effective board, not just from a point of view of working together, but in terms of it being precise and clinical about how it exercises oversight authority. So we accept chairperson. It might not be a good thing to be saying it in front of the portfolio committee. Our organization is not in a good state, and we are terribly worried about that, especially as far as being a shareholder organization, which has a huge responsibility together with the Department of Culture in ensuring that our center as local government starts getting out of the situation it's in and starts delivering to its communities in terms of objectives of the constitution, which is a responsive and a customer-oriented system. We would like to position the center with that. And we've also identified within the trajectory of what we want to do that there is an opportunity for us to work together with the department in raising the situation. The board, in our view, would not be able to fulfill that responsibility alone without some form of assistance to the department. That's what I can reflect, the person. The people might want to know what went on there. It's difficult for some to tell the association. But what we can say now is that indeed, the level at which we should be pulling things together, in fact, it does not exist. On the contrary, we, in our view, are accountable to what has happened before in the city, which is not right, and the extent to which the board is able to turn around that situation for the betterment of the city, the department, and all the stakeholders and that.
The officials said to this committee that they expect not to have a disclaimer because they would have cooperated, they have cooperated with the AG, they've submitted full and complete records in terms of accounting and all that. So if we come across a disclaimer, I think the minister must consider invoking Section 15 of the Skills Development Act. That is our recommendation. And that entails having to transfer the money in the account of the CETA by prescribed procedure to the National Skills Fund, pending appropriate systems and controls for the CETA to secure resources of our people. The minister must really consider if there is a disclaimer, the appointment of an administrator to run the affairs of this institution. In the meantime, because the board has been there and it's got new people, we'll edge the board within a month or so to shape up things. It doesn't take a month to, if you are appointed a minister and there are problems where you are arriving, people are signing the contract, they start issuing instruction that no, you handle this from now and you issue that instruction goes. I'm sure the issue of transactions without quotations or better than the scope of procurement without doing that in that case, well, it has stopped. If it is not stopped, my suggestion is that within the next 2 or 3 days, the board, the complete board, must just have a meeting with the AG's office to understand where they stand in terms of their current process. I know what I'm from Brooklyn. I know where you stand. You are in bad shape. So you must go there and say, where are we? Where are we in terms of all these findings with you and they attend? And then from that engagement, you reconcile yourself with reality. Have I really exercised my fiduciary duties? If I have not, what is the most honorable thing to do? Because South Africa is waiting for correct people in terms of management of its resources. We cannot, as a portfolio committee, we will never ever sit here and engage a dilemma. But I would have been able to hear that, no, the CEO resigned by seeing the disclaimer because she anticipated a very serious EC process. Well, the first thing about that, if affairs of an institution of this caliber are just in disarray, because this institution is in a coma, it needs resuscitation and stabilization. It is in the ICU. You need immediate action. You can't take a year. Immediate action. When a patient collapses, what happens? An ambulance with sirens rush to the scene and take the patient. And the patient has no clue. You immediately go into the operator where procedures must be done. But here we are taking time. The patient is sliding on the stretcher. Other patients are passing. But the AC says other sitters are beginning to shape up. There's a focus here and there. But if not, read the point where this marathon ends. And the portfolio committee is where it begins to recognize upon passing the finishing line. Once you are still in yellow in terms of the analysis, we don't recognize performance. You are almost there. The issue is you are not there. Because the committee needs you to be there to recognize that you are accountable. We cannot countenance lack of accountability. There are laws. If you read, and I'm not a copy, because I think people don't read these things. I really honestly think they don't read them. But I think it's because we don't implement it. If you read the Financial Management Act from the back, which you don't do, it says that what you have done as a sitter, the accounting authority is guilty of an offense and liable on conviction of fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years. So Honorable Banga is not incorrect when he says if we do not have the National Prosecuting Authority, if we have prisons, correctional services, if we were a different sort of state, we would be safer by now. I mean, it would just be a matter of saying, are you the accounting authority? Yes, no. Just come along. We don't want to pull this parliament. And then you enter to a man and you proceed to say, please forgive me. You see? What has happened in this situation is that you did not supply the AG with full and proper record. Let me tell you what happens here. This sitter, on the 31st of July, at midnight, that's when he submitted the request to the AG. Midnight. You never know who, I'm sure they'll be able to know if it's by email to show the source. How do you do that? How do you spend money on the state on a daily basis? You don't even care how much you spend. You don't follow any rules. You don't even take down how much you use on that day. At the end of the day, you are confused as to how much have you used. The money of the state. It's for you if it's your family money. You know, when you've got money in your pocket, it's yours. You work for it. You know, there's no law on how you use it. You can just buy bread and buy beer and you forget how much you have the change, it falls out of the pocket. Nobody will arrest you for that. But for state money, you must be arrested. But it's not yours. It belongs to people. That's the message we are sending to South Africa. As a portfolio committee, we are extremely intolerant to lack of accountability. We will never, ever, ever, ever stick softly when we are confronted with a disclaimer of an adverse report. We can't. Every person who has got the responsibility to take care of state resources
must do that with diligence, with care, and fundamental responsibility. And as we're hoping that in the next 3 days, the board will meet the office of the agency to understand where they stand. Because they don't know where they are. There are some agencies where we stand in terms of credibility, ensuring our efforts are in order. It's not difficult. The AG called my office today, and in the same day, I was in Brooklyn using a navigator, around at least Figure House, and had all about all the sitters, all the FETs, all the deputies. It might not be difficult for the board to do that, to go and hear for themselves what are the problems related to our sitter, and begin to act on that immediately. Maybe that might save you as a board. But take action against people that undertook these transactions. It can't take you to expel a person is very easy. It does not take years. It takes years if you don't know how to expel a person. I used to expel people I know. Come and ask me during lunch, I'll tell you how. As long as you know the law of dismissing people, it's the easiest thing to do on earth. People will be meeting you, sweating and running, realizing that you know what you're doing. So, you don't need experts, turnaround specialists to discipline people, for instance. You need the body to sit and say, has something done wrong here? Who is that person? You ask that. You just go to the supply chain management. Who is responsible for punching the computer for paying transactions? From there, who is the supervisor of that person? You go around that line of, in that hierarchy, you'll find all of them from the managers. You'll know who is responsible in the process. They'll tell you, the one who passes will say, I got an instruction from my boss, I'll also say, I got it from, and so on, until it reaches the top. So that must be done. We can't give you a time frame. And if we call you in 3 months, you still tell us that, no, we're still checking who, the inner audit. The internal audit must be knowing who has done what and how. It doesn't even have to be investigated. It's anywhere, if you have got an internal audit. They might be telling you who is responsible for this, which transaction, how much money it is, which law has been contrary. Because what you have in internal audit is a complete template of all things you must not do and what you must do. They tell you, here you're done wrong, here you are right, and so on. So, that is the position of the committee. The minister must consider appointing an administrator or take charge of the body of the sitter in the event of another disclaimer. And the board must engage with the AG immediately to sort out issues of auditing of the finances of the sitter. The committee will not comment on the functions of the board in regards to the appointment of your turnaround specialist. Because I know in South Africa there's no such thing as turnaround specialist. The first turnaround specialist here is the board. That's the first specialist. The second one is the CEO. Once you end a business, you know what to do. You cannot fail to come back to the CEO. You cannot fail to know how much money you spend in your own organization. You can't. I cannot fail to know how much you spend in the committee annually. I cannot. I cannot find anything which is illegal. I don't know, sir. Manpower. You will never bring, not because I'm a lawyer, not because I'm careful, what I sign. I ask questions, why the amount? I understand your brand is featured in South Africa. Now this one, the committee must not eat, it must be a special break. Now, you must take responsibility. We all take responsibility at all levels, and that is what we are saying. We've recorded that. We must communicate this to Parliament, we must communicate this to the Minister. We must take action on this matter. I think that seems to conclude proceedings of our meeting. Let me allow the chair of the board to say something.
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought it will be quite important that one actually confirms. I'm sure there was a point raised by the member that why are Nkosi? We're not married, it's not husband and wife. So it would have been a good question if the minister makes that kind of mistake. But I think it's not a disclaimer because it's only the audit report which is a disclaimer. Sending the other thing, we work together, nothing changes, it's professor. The further point here, I think the board member did raise the issue of the interim chair. I think the point of myself not attending meetings
is a point that the board may have to send you a register of all meetings that were called by the board and reflect my attendance so that at least you can have sense of the interim committee point. And maybe the last point here, which is quite important. Stakeholders represented here have been part of the same structure for a long time. We haven't changed stakeholders seriously. And the members who are new is because there is a delay on implementation. I have actually raised the point of saying we are struggling to manage transition. That's the point. That's all I'm just saying. Even those who are new here, as stakeholders, have been part of the LGCTA. I'm not actually raising an issue for any debate, but all I'm saying, it is important to say the institutional memory is linked to the stakeholder. Representatives will actually have mandates from the stakeholder. And obviously, when they're actually given responsibility, it will be based on their understanding and mainly there will be greater in terms of challenges we face as LGCTA. So I wanted to make it short term, just to say, speaking to the minister late, I think the second half of last year, the issue of requesting for an intervention was raised. The board itself in November had a discussion, agreed on the 14A intervention. The minister is following up on that issue. We are in correspondence. And obviously, I think the issue of intervention, there is consensus from the board side that something should be done. Although in the feedback to this meeting, we are saying intervention is turnaround strategy specialist. I'm just saying that's the devil, which is the detail. But in the overall chair, I think we are sensitive and aware of what challenges we face, but also we really appreciate your comments and really accept that we may not be valued for money. And based on what we actually have to do here, I will say for all the things that might have come out wrong, the board actually is committed to do all it can to actually correct the situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think that helps to conclude proceedings of the meeting, the Mr. Chen. The programme, I understand we must finalize the part
I take you to page 3, paragraph 3.2. Every college were not allocated 30% after allocated. I'm suggesting that second allocation is just to be held. So they were not allocated 3% upfront, as initially reported. I take you to page 4, paragraph 3.7. No, I'm saying SD colleges were not allocated 80% upfront. I think I've said allocated. I'm on page 4, paragraph 3.7. It's saying in there, it says the personal credit is saying cut broken and the estimated number of registered students registered for 2022. Let's take off the third register. So it will read registered students for 2023 academic year. I take you to 3.9. The committee has proposed that student governance be empowered to university colleges and universities, as many of the universities did not fully recognize the role played by this board. I also assume that this board refers to FLC. Can you spell it out and say this board? Otherwise, one won't know which board that is. That's it on my side.
Seven. Does it mean that we are approving the minutes of corrections?
I sent it, Chair.
About that? Look at the draft report of the portfolio committee, our last oversight visit to the Northern Cape and Northwest.
I'm worried about that one because I only went up to 314. I don't know if I remember read, and I've a number of questions before I get to that page 14. So if we have put that, I'm worried about that. But I can take you until the 14th.
Okay.
Or we can put them in the fridge for later.
Yeah,
let me remember. Who am I here to disagree with the professor? I think I agree.
It is suggested that we should, I think maybe it's to the next meeting.
Yeah.
If Prof can highlight the issues up to page 14, it will make it easier for us.
It might help the process, okay.
On page 1, it's the only introduction. If you go to the third line, starting end of BJC College and on the leader, as part of an ongoing oversight. I would rather just say as part of ongoing oversight. Take out the N. To take it to background, the very first line. The oversight consisted of a multi-participation of the committee, one the committee members. That said committee members after committee. On page 2, we visit the very first line, second line, I'm sorry. The visit included temporary sessions with the speakers of the institution to provide an opportunity for them to raise their concerns in a safe environment. I'd rather say to raise them freely. When they say safely, you see some guns and things. I teach you to page 3.
On page 2, with the names, I think 3.2 management, you have Dr. C. Barnes, principal, Ms. M. Barnhorst. I think that Barnhorst must have T at the end, not an E. Sorry, there's another one, Chair. The second last line, Northern Cape Provincial Legislature, it's Dr. Groenboom, not Mr.
Page 3, the union. I don't know whether we do not know Ms. Democratic Union. Which union was represented? If we know that, I'd rather we include it. Unless we don't know. Do I take you to page 5? On page 5, paragraph 4.1, within Ms. D. Christidian, I don't know if that's a good point. But when you go to the Northern Cape as benefit delegation, she's not there. She made the presentation in her absence. I'm proposing that we include her in the list of delegates that were there. If possible, could even indicate now. I got from the next page president that she's the manager. She's the manager of Basari. That's to say, what does the manager want?